My dear friends, we're going to enter into discussion now about Religion News Service. Take out that article by Trevor Grundy. What a great name. I would probably change mine to Gundy or Grundy, but anyways, he didn't pick it. So this was posted March 21st on the internet, a Religious News Service. Church of England Sunday attendance continues downward slide. Now, what we're about to read is especially salient because I've told you that Europe with Islam now is what America with Islam will be. Okay? So let's begin reading. Canterbury, England. Attendance figures released by the Church of England show that Sunday worship attendance continues its downward slide and now stands at about half of what it was 45 years ago. All right. 45 years ago was what year?
45 years
ago.
2014. 71. Oh, my goodness. 1969. Excellent. So in 1969, you had twice the number of people attending church in England that you do now. Think about that. That's pretty wild. What does that tell you? Someone give me an idea of some of the things you know that are going on in England. Well, you know, things that reflect the fact that half of the people go to church now. Why in 1969 would there have been more? What was going on in 1969? What was going on in England? Or, I mean, think about it. What are we only 25 years after? In 1969, World War II. Anything happened with England in World War II? Yeah, they got crushed. You know, they just constant bombing runs over London. Who was the great figurehead in Parliament at the day?
Churchill.
Winston Churchill. I have a 6-volume World War II history written by Winston Churchill, near and dear to my heart. And so in any case, blood, sweat, and tears, a man that made them come to fruition where they needed to be, come to the stage. And now 25 years after World War II, their church attendance is probably respectable. But now 45 years later, they are at half the church attendance. Now that's not too troubling if it weren't for what we're about to read. The report from the Archbishop's Council Research and Statistics Department, released Friday, shows that on average in 2012, 800,000 adults, or 2% of the adult population, attended church on Sunday. That's down from 1.6 million Sunday worshipers in 68. So really, you only still had 1 in 20 Brits going to church in 1969. 5%, right? I'll tell you what, let's double it. Let's assume that the population grew, and so that even though the church attendance was 1.6 million, let's say that wasn't 4%, because right, it's 2% now. So if you double that, in 1969, it's 4%. But let's say there was less population from that 1.6 million to come from. Let's double it. Let's say that the population has doubled since then. So 10% of the church, of the country, was going to church in 1969. Not all that impressive. But when you realize that English history is a little bit longer than U.S. history, you're willing to see the digression and why America, even though we have more than 5% of Christian adults going to church on Sunday, just give it time. And we'll be a little bit like England. Now, that's not so troubling. Think about 2%. That means for every 100 people you see on the street, let's reduce the lowest terms, right? Out of every 50 people you see on the street, one of them was in church on Sunday. Imagine going through London and knowing that. You should know that England is a great mission field. But you should also know that if something doesn't change for America, because really, England is not, it's not that it's filled with stupid people, just blind. They should know that we see a trend here. America's not filled with stupid people, unless you count being dull as being stupid. The truth is, you could accuse someone of being stupid if they didn't pay attention to the weather patterns, right? For example, I'm pretty sure the game's going to get rained out today. Why? Well, because I pull up my iPhone and it says there's a 50% chance of rain in 1 hour. And we're going to have soggy fields, and no one likes tearing up their fields for a game. So probably, it's going to get canceled. Well, and Jesus said in Matthew 16, if you can look at the sky and determine the weather, why can't you look at signs around you and see what's going to happen? He said, you are blind. He said it in Matthew 16. So when we have in England that sees what's happening with the secularization and the Islamization of England. You know, I really don't know what's going to happen here. Why don't you see what's going to happen? We looked in our textbook and saw that in the 6th and 7th and 800s, Islam spread like wildfire through the Middle East by force. And now they're involved with what is known as a silent jihad, taking over silently through nothing but population growth. Do the math. Now, Christmas and Easter services continue to attract the highest number of worshipers. Christmas Eve and Christmas Day bring in around 2.5 million people. Oh, that is such a crock. Think about that. Church attendance. What is the factor? What happens here? What happens on Christmas, the church attendance? Do the numbers. 800,000 to 2.5 million. More than triples. More than triples for Christmas. Aren't you a bunch of sweethearts? Are you trying to tell me that you folks, 67% of you, don't think you need to go to church the other parts of the year? How ridiculous is that? So it's just hypocrisy. And ask England, what kind of country? Oh, we're a Christian nation. No, you're as Christian as I am Japanese. Just because you say that we go to church on Christmas, well, look here, 2.5 million people is still under 10% of the population. Right? And yet, it triples to that. And Easter services, well, we only almost double the church attendance to 1.4 million. I was looking at a news article the other day that said that they gave away a machine gun, an AR-15, which is a fantastic weapon. They were giving one away at a church in the area, and the church attendance hit a record because they're giving away one gun somewhere here in the United States. So, I mean, if you have a clown on a bus giving away hot dogs, you're going to triple the attendance, okay? You give away a donkey ride in the backyard of the church, you're going to have kids come out. You want to, you know, if you want to put a pie in the pastor's face, you're going to get double the crowd. So it's not an issue of, are they religious? I mean, good heavens, you can always build a crowd. Just spend money and put out sweet banners and, you know, do an ice shaving exhibition in the narthex and make a Donald Duck out of a solid block of ice and you'll get 20 or 30 more people in the church, okay? Or have Easter. One of England's top women judges, Baroness Brenda Hale, I can't believe it's still Baronesses, okay, said the Church of England is in decline because it's so undemanding. Think about that. It is so undemanding. The Church of England is in decline because it is so undemanding. All right. Now that's interesting. She recently told a conference at Yale Law School it has no dietary laws, no dress codes for men or women, and very little that its members can say is actually required of them by way of observance. Now, put this in, how should we say, counter distinction to the rising religion in England. Tell me about it. The rising religion in England. I've already given you the cards. It is what? Islam. Tell me, does Islam have any of this? Dietary laws, dress codes, reinforced roles for genders? Yes, you actually have to pay a price, so to speak, to be a Muslim. What do you have to do to be Church of England? Nothing. Be born into it. Be in the right family. Be christened when you're a kid. That's it. And people don't want to be a part of something like that. They just don't. And that's why it's, as I can tell you this in several different ways, you never get quality product by lowering the standard. Ever. Ever. That's why I think it's very important that sports teams always cut somebody. Always. Always cut somebody. Because if you don't, then there's no prestige in making the team. Okay. If everyone who tries out for something gets picked up, this isn't the everyone's a winner club. Everyone's not a winner. You don't remember this, Miss Emma. But I remember when you were 12, and I was involved with a Bible study with your daddy every Friday night at the Taylor's house. And I think Scott Taylor was like young. And I remember your daddy saying that you ran a race in your elementary school. And your daddy asked you, well, did you win? You said something like, well, my teacher says everyone's a winner. And your daddy told me that he told you, Emma, that's a lie. Not everyone is a winner, and even if you were second, you were the first loser. That has stuck with me.
which is humiliating for a pastor to know that so little of what Hebrews says is remembered. Usually it's one line out of a sermon somewhere, and that's if it's good. Or bad. Hey, if it's really bad, people remember it too. That's a plus, I guess. So anyway, this baroness, this judge says that it came in a lecture of following a series of court cases in which British Christians claimed to be suffering from religious discrimination but lost their cases. She described England as a paradoxical country when it comes to religion, saying that even though the Church of England is the established church and has been since Henry VIII broke from Rome, and why did he do that in the 1500s? Yep, he wanted to divorce his wife and the Pope said no. So all of a sudden, he is now the head of the new church. And by the way, the true church. Interesting how the true church didn't exist until the 1500s. But in any case, half the population does not profess any religious affiliation. It's a lot like an official language, like in Iran. The official language, I think, is Pashto, and I think maybe 20% of the country speaks it, if memory serves. So what do you think of this article? You see a declining church attendance in America, unless, of course, they're doing what's hip. If you do something that requires something, that seems to be... I mean, this is only one perspective. This judge seems to think it's because there's very little required of someone who is Church of England. I mean, there's nothing required of you. As a matter of fact, you can be a homosexual and be a pastor. I mean, there's very, very little required of you. So I want you to see the trend. A lot of our forefathers in the faith came from England. A lot of our forefathers in this nation, a lot of our founders came from England. So this should come as a real reality check with a lot of us. Any comments on this? What do you expect to happen in England, Austin?
In England?
What do you expect to happen to England?
To England?
Given what you know about their birth rate, given what you know about their Christianity, given what you know about the religion, what's that?
They're going to die.
What does that mean, though? That is such a nebulous term. They're going to die. All the Brits are going to fall over like fainting goats on an island.
No, they're the nation as we know it back in the olden days is going to die out.
Okay, but what is that going to look like? What does it mean when we say nation's going to look out? Because we want to know what to look for in America.
Muslims taking over slowly.
If nothing changes, the weather pattern says that England will be a Muslim nation within 50 years. Now think that through. And it won't take swords, even though one guy, remember last year, decapitated a British soldier in London. You remember that? From Somalia. Does anyone remember that in the news? Hopefully you don't get used to it that quickly. Yeah. All over the news. Of course, everyone will forget about this Malaysian airline thing, too, within a year. Because, I mean, there's so much news. Do you know that more than 15 people died in a mudslide in Washington State? And they're still looking for 100 people? So bear in mind, folks, that news comes and goes. And what the temptation is going to be for us to just kind of get callous and forget about it. Before you know it, when you're callous and you forget about it, before you know it, you look up and you have no freedoms. It's very, very troubling.